When it comes to hiring, don't search for a great talent, match with them. Thanks to Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find qualified candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility. Go to Indeed.com/listen and tell them you heard about them from this podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
And a pleasant good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Fans in the Pro on this Friday, December 13th. Mike Austin, Deuce McAllister with you until 6 o'clock tonight. Lots of high school football going on. I left the Superdome to get over here. They had just finished the Shaw and E.D. White game. Very close. Shaw won 28-25. I think it was right, 28-25. And so we know a bunch of people on both sides of that ball. I was saying about Mike Parenton, that was must have been a heck of a game.
Yeah, definitely a heck of a game. And I think Shaw took the lead actually in the fourth quarter. And I think that's their second championship. I think I read it. It was their second championship, first since 87, if I remember correctly. So
God, that sounds like Fourcade. John Fourcade.
Don't get me going there, but I'm sure somewhere in that line, John was involved.
Think about it. He quarterbacked the Saints in 89. It would have been.
You know who?
No, it couldn't be Fourcade.
Well, Bussy was one that I know. He's a big Shaw guy as well. So on the West Bank, I know they celebrate. So congratulations to Archbishop Shaw. And I think Carr plays tomorrow.
They do.
Yeah, and so they're gunning for another state championship. And, you know, for all of our high school football teams that are not only local but across the state, if you aren't, don't get to New Orleans often. Welcome. Hope you enjoy it. And, hopefully your team pulls it off.
It is a great 3 days. I mean, it's three. So it's 8 games over 3 days. Started yesterday, Vermilion Catholic beat Ouachita Christian. South Plaquemines defeated Haynesville. Starlington which is up near Monroe, defeated St. James. And then today you get three. The game now is Dunham and Catholic of New Iberia, then Franklinton and Cecilia, and as Deuce said, tomorrow, Edna Carr and Alexandria. That's at noon, and at 3:30, Ruston and Central Baton Rouge.
So, Mike, how about this? St. James, and St. James, as we both know, in the River Parish, starts a 14-year-old freshman at quarterback. And, you know, to be able to get to the state championship, I can't remember the young man's name, but I was just reading about it and I saw it. And, you know, that's pretty special. And if I remember correctly, Dunham has the quarterback that has a couple of offers. If I remember correctly, I got to correct my – there's one prospect.
Well, it's not like we prepared to start out rolling with Dunham right off the right.
Yeah, Elijah Haven, that's him. He's basically Charlie. Thank you. He is a 5-star recruit, a heck of a basketball player as well, but he can sling it, And I think Elijah may be in the 10th grade. He is a 5-star, has every tool that you can imagine. So if you haven't seen him play, I've seen some highlights. I hadn't seen it in person. I mean, because one thing about it, you know, my 20 plus years here in New Orleans, and I'm sure you're the same way. Whether it was Leonard Fournette, whether it was McKnight, Joe McKnight, you know, you talk about Tyron Matthew, particularly when they're in high school, it's like, lay. You got to go see this kid.
Right.
You Ryan Perilou was another one. You know, particularly just in this region. Hey, you got to go see this kid. This is the next one. And we're not talking about hoops where it was Randy Livingston.
Yeah.
You know, and Randy was before me. But you know, Peyton Manning, Arch Manning, Eli Manning. You know, that whole tree there. And then you talk about, hey, you got to go see Odell. You know, you got to go see Odell, Jarvis Landry, another River Parish kid. You got to go see him. Those are the types. That's how this young man is. It's like, look, you got to go see this kid. He dominates, and you know, it's just like, man, let me ride over here to Destrehan, or let me ride over here to see what the Purple Knights got going on. Carr's no different. You know, Carr's no different because they've got a ton of athletes, and we're not just talking about local folklore that follows them. I mean, this is, you know, it goes beyond that, and you see them playing on Saturdays and Sundays, and, you know, pretty special.
It is, and so the All-State Sugar Bowl Prep Football Roundup will be live tonight from Caesars Superdome. I don't know, Dunham will have to play, they're going to have a long game for me to check them out. I'm going to go back to the Dome after we're done, but they're going to need a couple of overtimes for me to check them out today.
Well, you know, if it's a lot of passes, that means the clock is stopping.
That's true.
Is stopping, and now it can't be just all first downs. There's got to be some drops somewhere in there as well.
All right, so we have Steve Weiss on the show today, the NFL Network's chief national reporter. Also, John Keim, who covers the Washington Commanders for ESPN.com. That'll be at 5:20. We want to thank all the good folks at Magazine Pizza for feeding our sports talk crew on game day. Magazine Pizza, 1068 Magazine, dine-in or delivery. The best gourmet pizza selection in town. Magazine Pizza also has pasta, sandwiches, wings, and salads at MagazinePizza.com. Perhaps the latest we've ever not spoken of the Saints. Saints and the Commanders Sunday, and normally we kind of talk about the injury list, and we're not going to today. We're going to talk about the quarterback. Jay Kaner was named the starter. Today, Coach Rizzi said they haven't decided if Derek will be the backup or the emergency third. But either way, even if he's active, Jake's the starter.
Yeah, I think when you look into that picture, he's a young man that has probably earned it and deserved it. You know, the one thing that, you know, we can all speculate and we can all question, hey, was it the right decision? You know, did they make the right choice? The one thing I can't say, because I don't know, and from a fan's perspective, we technically don't know, and any other reporter technically doesn't know, what are you grading on? That's what we don't know. And what I mean by that, is it notes in class? Is it extra hours on your tablet? Is it reps in practice.
Like pure execution in practice?
Well,
like
not only execution, but, you know, here's the thing. They film everything. There is a camera specifically for the quarterbacks. There is three cameras for team. You know, you get team, you get scout team. There's another camera that follows specifically for quarterbacks. I want to see your drops. I want to see your throws in Skelly. I want to see your throws in individual. And so, for me, both quarterbacks are deserving. And I'm talking about the young guys, not Derek. I'm talking about the young guys. But I cannot give you an honest opinion on why they chose Jake in this particular situation over Spencer Rattler, because I don't know what they're grading on. And so that's just like taking a test, but you don't know what's right or wrong, if that makes sense. And so
no, it does. I mean, all they said that was that, and it was kind of the same thing that Coach Allen said post Carr week five, would have been week six Tampa, is that for this game plan, for this game, we feel he gives us the best chance. Now that makes
sense.
I know, that's just coach
speak. That's coach speak. I understand. But you don't really tell me anything.
Right.
So I get it. I understand it. I know exactly what you're saying, but that doesn't give me the answers to the test.
Right.
That doesn't tell me how you came to that point. And quite frankly, it doesn't really matter. It's not my business. But if somebody asks me, I can definitively tell you this is why. You know, maybe on three steps drops for
it wouldn't be accumulative. Because what you just went through a bunch of things.
I was about to get there. Okay. On the 900 three-step drops that they have taken, this is how many that he actually took three steps. This is how many he actually took four and a half steps. This is how many he was on time with the throw. This is how many that he was able to hit the check down. I can't tell you that because, one, I don't have that information. And then I don't know what you're grading on. So if that was the answer that he gave me, that's what I'm going to tell you.
Right.
You know, and now the other test obviously is the game. And it's not just about it's about executing the offense. It's about getting in and out of the huddle. It's about getting the play. It's about getting the guys up to the line of scrimmage. And now it's one thing to run a play, but when you get in trouble, even before the play is called, can you get me out of trouble? And it doesn't have to be – sometimes getting out of trouble is not having a negative play. It doesn't have to be, oh, we picked up 10 yards. It may have been, I got to the next play. There wasn't a turnover. You know, we were able to punt on fourth down. It's okay to punt in certain situations. But can you get me to the next play? And so that's really what football boils down to.
That's a lot. It's
that's in 45 seconds.
That's right, but it's a lot, and you know, and we got, you know, which is, I get it, which is, hey, you know, we feel like he gives us the best chance with this game plan. By the way, the answer to the question, Mickey Joseph, Shaw quarterback, 1987. This is 2 years before I got here. Recruited, top recruit out of Nebraska. He was the Gatorade Player of the Year, first team Parade All-American, two-time All-State MVP, three-time All-District MVP.
That's what we call a baller.
Wow.
A baller.
That is impressive.
A football player.
Man, so Mickey Joseph, and I think he's at Grambling now.
Yeah, Mickey, Coach Joseph, he's at Grambling.
Yeah. So, so that's going on. And so the other side of the quarterback coin, I guess the question would be, like, if Derek's the number two, he can play.
Correct.
But you don't want to further get him hurt? I mean – I understand emergency three. I don't understand active in two.
And here's the other part of that equation. One, we know he's not on IR. Right now, he is listed as his listing on the injury report. Is it doubtful or is it questionable?
That's a good question because it just came out and he still has one more concussion protocol
that he has to clear.
And that's tomorrow.
That's Saturday.
Right.
Because he's dealing with a hand and a –
right.
Well, it's a hand. It's a wrist. It's the wrist and the concussion protocol. They must feel really good for him to even say he will be a two or even a three, that tells you that they feel really good about where he's at. Now, the Saints did sign another quarterback earlier this week to the practice squad just in case Derek wasn't able to be even a two or a three. And so we do know that.
Yes, Deuce.
No.
You know who they signed.
Yeah, it's some kid from
Ben DiNucci.
Yeah, some kid from James Madison.
Good Lord, man. You just gonna throw out the practice squad guy?
Maybe he played for the Broncos or some kid.
Ben DiNucci.
And Ben, don't discount me. Calling your kid.
He's tired of me talking about James Madison. Carr's listed as doubtful.
So he's listed as doubtful. So the Saints, you will know tomorrow whether he will be two or three, because doubtful, they either have to rule him out, if I'm correct, or you bump him up to questionable tomorrow.
Right.
You either rule him out or you bump him up to questionable. That doesn't mean he's going to play, but the status will change. He's either out on Saturday or he's questionable.
Do not have Washington's as of yet as their Friday report. The only person who was out for the Saints, there's two, DeMarco Jackson, ankle, kind of saw that one coming. Bub Means, bit of a newer surprise. He was limited on Wednesday, then got hurt and did not practice Thursday or Friday, so he is out. Tano Passanio is questionable, and Carr's doubtful. That's it. Alvin Kamara had the illness. He's back full. Juwan was back full today, so Washington, again, hasn't submitted theirs. When they do, we'll get that to you. Talk more about the Saints and the Commanders, also college as well. Take a break. This is Fans and a Pro here on WWLAMFM.com. Always free on the Odyssey app.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
It's James Kell from the Sleeper King Football Podcast. In fantasy football, sleepers can win you championships, and that's why I am here. Every episode is just 15 to 20 minutes long, every Tuesday through Friday. Subscribe to the Sleeper King Podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your pods.
Welcome back, Fans in the Pro. Mike Hoss, Deuce McAllister with you until 6 o'clock tonight. Joining us now, the NFL Network Chief National Reporter, Steve Weiss. You can see Steve on NFL Game Day Preview, which streams Sunday, 11 o'clock Central on the NFL's Fast Channel, available on platforms like Peacock, Pluto, Tubi, and a whole lot more. Steve Weiss, welcome to the show. You're on with Mike Hoss and Deuce McAllister.
Good evening, my guys. How's everything going?
We are good. We'll start with our game Sunday after the win, the 14-11 thrashing of the Giants at MetLife. You get Washington, who comes off of a bye. I think the last few opponents the Saints have played, the Giants were on a mini bye. Cleveland was on a bye, and now Washington comes in on a bye. Where do you see this thing?
Well, I mean, look, this is Jake Haner time, right? You know, this is to see if the Saints can make anything of the stretch and push for the NFC South. I mean, the division is there. Tampa's taking it over. Atlanta's, you know, really come back down to earth. Can Jake Haner rally the troops? I mean, they only won 14-11 against the Giants, but Deuce, you know this. Last I checked, there's no asterisk with margin of victory when it has a W next year standing in the NFL. So, yeah, we'll see how this shakes out. Washington is a very dangerous football team. That quarterback is real. The defense is playing better. And it's Marshawn Lattimore Bowl. He's back. You know, he's going to make his debut. So we'll see how that pans out.
Yeah, Steve, I think, you know, just talking about Washington in general, you know, you lost a couple games before you go into that bye, but you talked about Jaden Daniels, and, you know, one of the things that I talked about earlier was him seeing the field a lot better than I anticipated, you know, particularly early on. He's always been a great deep ball thrower, but I think, you know, just from a read standpoint, he is seeing it and playing fast. You know, just what's your interpretation of what you've seen so far out of Daniels?
You know, it's interesting you say that. That goes back to training camp. I spoke to their defensive coordinator, Joe Witt, and he was saying, look, we tried to trick him. We would do some things defensively on his behalf to see if he would make the checks at line, see what coverages he would read. And he said he nailed them all. And that goes back to, and I think we're starting to see more of this, I call it the Brock Purdy effect, of Jaden having so much experience in college. I mean, he played a lot of ball games, and you're seeing that with guys like Drake May, even though the Patriots aren't winning, how easily they're able to kind of decipher things. And you're seeing that with some of these quarterbacks because they've seen a lot of defenses coming into the league, and the way that some of the offensive play design is for them, it's allowing them pre-snap to determine what's going on. With Jaden, and probably what you've seen on film, is he's been able to diagnose some of the games that teams are playing post-snap and to get to his reads very quickly. And again, that comes down to the experience and some of the things he's been taught in all of the years, be it LSU, be it Arizona State, before he got into the league. So he's been coached well, and he continues to be coached well with Cliff Kingsbury and Anthony Lynn helping him figure out the offense in Washington.
I don't know if you got a chance to watch the game last night, but, you know, a team that is on fire right now is the LA Rams. And, you know, a few weeks ago, this was a team that was floating, hey, we need to trade Matthew Stafford. Hey, we need to trade Cooper Kupp. You know, what do we do? How can we reset this deal? And right now, you know, I know Seattle, I think, is technically, I don't know the tiebreakers, I think Seattle may be technically in the lead in the NFC, right, in the NFC West. But, you know, how have they been able to put it together out, the Rams, you know, how have they been able to put it together out in L.A.?
Well, I did see the game, and it's a two-parter. And I live in L.A., so I see a lot of their games and hear a lot of news about them. Two-parter. Defensively, they're playing better, right? Those young guys on that defensive line who are, like, in their second or first year are really causing problems up front. I mean, Kobe Turner, who is probably finished second in the Defensive Rookie of the Year voting last year. Byron Young, the defensive end. Jared Verse, the rookie out of LSU. And Braden Fisk, the rookie out of Florida State. I'm sorry, they're both out of Florida State, both rookies. They can get there with four. And you saw it last night. They were creating pressures on Brock Purdy with just four guys. The Rams did blitz more than I've seen them blitz before, and I think part of that stifled more run blitzes, which helped stifle some of the run game. But the second part of why L.A. has been playing is their running back, Kyren Williams. Matthew Stafford's been fantastic. Puka Nacua's been fantastic, but we expect that. Kyren Williams is already over 1,000 yards rushing, and I think you're starting to see this more across the NFL, where more and more teams are going back to the run game to help out their offensive line. A lot of offensive lines are injured, so they're running the ball more to get some push. They've got good running backs back into this game, and that's allowing some things in the passing game to open up for L.A. So when you do that and you create any type of space for Matthew Stafford, he's going to cut you up. And as you know, Puka Nacua is one of the best wide receivers in the NFL, especially once he has the ball in his hands.
I wanted to go back a little bit, one other question about Jaden and just kind of his maturity, or at least maybe it's from an offensive team standpoint and how it's changed with him running the football. So he's averaging 45 yards a game, but in the first five games, he averaged 11 runs. And in the last eight, that's down to six. It feels like he's a lot smarter now in that realm of when to run as opposed to first option, just pull it down and take off.
Yeah, but I also think in the early part of the season, too, you had some strategically called runs. I think they backed off of that as the offense has expanded since Brian Robinson came back healthy. So I think it's kind of a mix of what they had to do versus what they can do. And I think Jaden's played a role in that. Because when you see him, and you guys saw this at LSU, he's not necessarily looking to run. When you watch him play, he scrambles to create time to throw. But like you said, early on in the season, he did just pull it down and go. And that might have been what the coaching staff was telling him to do. It might have been instinct. I'm not sure. But you watch him more as he's matured, and he's scrambling to create time, to get it to Scary Terry, to get it to Zach Ertz, more so with his runs than he is just to pull it down and to gain yardage.
Steve, I got to ask you, across the NFL, you know, is there another team out there that you really, really like that's maybe getting hot, or, you know, like a team like, let's just say, the Kansas City Chiefs, who is already, they've already secured a playoff spot, you know, can they continue to kind of win those one-score games, and how they've been going about their business?
Man, this is a great question, because, you know, I think this year the NFL became more like the NBA or Major League Baseball, where the real good teams kind of deciphered and established themselves early. A team I really like is the Pittsburgh Steelers. You know, we'll see if they can finish out. They're two games up on Baltimore. But when I look at the AFC, to me, there's not a team that they can't beat. I think because they're so good in all three phases, they can get Kansas City. They can get Buffalo. You know, they can get Baltimore. At the same time, they can get God. They still have their flaws, but they can run the ball. Russ is throwing the ball well to Pickens. They can defensively, with those four edge guys that they have, they're loaded. And in the NFC, you know, I do like, you know, the top heavy teams. I mean, Philadelphia, Detroit, Minnesota. I think Minnesota is a team we don't talk about enough. You know, this is an 11-win team, a two-loss team that's really gotten overshadowed by the other teams in their division. I think they're good. I think the NFC playoff race is going to be absolutely fascinating now that San Francisco looks like they're not going to make the playoffs.
I agree 100%. When you were talking about Pittsburgh, I did want to go to the other end of the state, because we played Philly in week three, and I was like, wow, right? I mean, so I have watched them so much, and their defense front line, yeah, and with Barkley and Jalen, I feel like, man, they've won nine straight, and I feel like, you know, they just look to me like, man, I would hate to have to play them.
And they can play. The one thing you're seeing, and again, we're going back 15, 20 years now in the NFL, there are more teams that can play in bad weather, right? Philadelphia's a team that can play in bad weather. Detroit, a dome team that only plays in three outdoor, truly outdoor stadiums this year, they can play in any type of weather. Why? Because they can stop the run and they can run the ball. Your basic fundamentals. And I'm sure Deuce loves this as a running back, but you're seeing some of these veteran running backs showcase the value of the run game, like Derrick Henry, Saquon Barkley, and then you're seeing some of these young guys, you know, the Brian Robinsons of the world. And Philadelphia, they mash on both lines of scrimmage. That their defensive front has gotten so much better. And Zach Bond, you guys know him well. What Vic Fangio has been able to do with him. This is a non-rushing outside linebacker who makes his impact felt on nearly every play. So the fact that they scheme him up the way they do, especially in coverages in the run game, for him to have the type of impact, that's another reason why the Eagles are now so good at all three levels on that defensive side of the ball.
A lot to go. A lot to go. Four games.
Yeah, and Steve, all I hear about is Jalen and AJ, they don't like each other. And they should fire the head coach.
Well, yeah. Yeah, you don't have to fire the head coach. Hey, you didn't like everyone you played with. You don't have to like everybody, but I think they've got a good enough relationship as to where if they've got to go back and throw it 35 times a game, they can scorch you that way. They just haven't had to because they're running the ball so well.
That they are. Steve Weiss, NFL Network's chief national reporter, as always, appreciate your time. Have a great weekend. If we don't talk to you, have a great holiday, and we'll see you down the road.
Same to you guys and all your listeners, guys. All the best.
Need to take a break. Fans in the Pro, Mike Hoss, Deuce McAllister, working their way towards 5 o'clock. With you till 6 o'clock tonight on this Friday, talking about Saints and the Commanders on a whole lot more. Talking a little college bowls and what else, the rest of the NFC Souths. See how that wraps up this week and who's playing who. We're back after a quick break here on Fans in the Pro, WWL, AM, and FM.com. Always free on the Odyssey app. Welcome back, and don't forget, high school fans, it's the Louisiana Football State Championships, and they are here, and WWL will be live at the Superdome covering all the action. Join us tonight and Saturday for the championship edition of the All-State Sugar Bowl Prep Football Roundup. Tonight, it's Franklinton, will face off with Cecilia for the Division II non-select championship. Tomorrow, the doubleheader, Edna Carr and Alexandria for the Division I select state championship. And then Central will take on Ruston for the Division I non-select title. Join Ian Ozen, Alan Waddell, and Coach Lou Valden for the All-State Sugar Bowl Prep Football Roundup Championship Edition tonight from 7 to 10:30 and tomorrow starting at noon. So, interesting. So, I guess as we look, and I play the game. I know I shouldn't, but I do. Four games left. Saints are 5-8, Atlanta 6-7, Tampa 7-6. I mean, it's just
not a rabbit hole I'm jumping down there with.
I know.
I'm not jumping in that rabbit hole.
It's too hard. Yeah. It's too hard because I can make it so that 8 and 9 wins the division.
Go on a how many games left?
Four.
Go on a four game run, and then we'll talk about it.
All right. Well,
for me.
I'm with you.
For me, outside of that, I'm not jumping down that rabbit hole.
But I like it. Here's why I like it.
You just dig in.
No, I don't. I don't dig in. I'm on the periphery. I really am.
You're not just sticking your head in that rabbit hole.
I'm on the periphery.
You are digging out, and you're just. Let me go to this tunnel right here. This tunnel says tiebreaker number 3 goes to tiebreaker number 2 based off of points 4, based off of strength of schedule versus NFC opponents, common opponents. No.
Yeah.
No.
I do. I do have one method that has gotten, if the Saints can finish 8 and 9, they'll be 3 and 3 in the division and 6 and 6 in conference, and you're going to get three team tie. It's going to be complicated.
You went from main rabbit hole to you're on 72nd Street, and you're like, what city is second? You way up. You in D.C. That's where you at.
All right.
On that rabbit hole.
What I meant to say was Saints play at noon. And then the late game is going to be Tampa at the Chargers. And so it's a big game for both. And then Monday night is Atlanta at Las Vegas. So, you know, at least they're all kind of separated. Last week, everybody's playing at the same time.
I'll watch them, or at least score watch, not necessarily fully watch them. I will score watch and say, that's interesting.
Especially after the Saints beat Washington. Then, because if the Saints don't beat Washington,
it won't change whether I watch them or not. I'm going to still score watch and say, oh, man, they lost again. Oh, you know, Tampa won the game. XYZ didn't play for Tampa or whatever. It doesn't really change for me at this point.
We didn't talk about this. Deuce did, but we were going to a break, and that is Washington's was out. It hadn't been updated where I had it, but you had it.
Yes.
The only one that was out for Washington is Noah Brown. He's got a kidney injury. I'll see what happens to him down the road. And the new one was Deron Payne, the defensive lineman.
Yep, really good defensive lineman, Alabama kid. And he popped up today with the back issue, so it'll be interesting to see how he handles that, how Washington handles that. But for the most part, Washington, they had a ton of guys listed, but they're coming off the bye.
Right.
Coming off the late bye. And so they don't have a ton of guys out. Those, you know, no, one for sure, Noah Brown and everybody else. I think it's only two other players.
Questionable.
Maybe, yeah. They're
nobody's doubtful.
Yeah, nobody's doubtful.
Marshawn Lattimore effect. First game, since the trade, he has not played. This is going to be his first game.
Love the kid. Love the player. Tremendous, tremendous player. But if I'm the Saints, throw three go balls at him. Three, back to back to back if you want to. Okay, your ham's good. Go run. If it's not a go ball, throw in an over route.
Test it early?
I don't even want to test. I mean, if we could call it a test,
okay.
But I want to send a message as well. One, I'm not scared of you. And two, I'm going to make you run. I'm not going to allow you to sit here and read and be able to just, you know, feel comfortable. I am going to make you run. And so, okay, they may not be back-to-back because I do need to get a first down if you don't complete one. But I am, Jake, this ball is either to my receiver or out of bounds. But you got to run. I want to see you run.
open up and run.
I mean, think about it. It's been a while.
He's practiced.
Right.
He's been there. It's been weeks, multiple weeks. So he should be healthy and close, if not healthy, close to it. But you're going to run. And I want to show you that I'm not scared of you.
So look, I'd ask Coach Rizzi, like, what does Washington typically do? Are they traveling? And he says, no, they'll play man in their corner man, mm-hmm. but they will not travel. And that will be something interesting. He says, I want to see what they'll do with Marshawn.
Well, I think they haven't had a corner with the ability of Marshawn Lattimore.
Right. So
you can travel with Lattimore. You know, even if you wanted to say, hey, we're going to even put him in a slot at times. But if you don't travel him, then for the Saints, it kind of makes it a little bit easier because I know exactly where he's going to line up. And so from a scheming standpoint, I know some of the things that I can do. But also, I am going to make you run. I don't want you sitting on 5 yards, 10-yard routes. You got to play the deep ball here. And it's not that I don't respect it. I do. But I also know that you're coming off injury as well.
Take a break. Fans in the Pro. Mike Hoss, Deuce McAllister back after this. WWLAMFM.com. Always free on the Odyssey app. Welcome back. Just about a little more than a minute until we get the news coming up at 5 o'clock. Mike Hoss and Deuce McAllister here on Fans in the Pro. I'm holding. We'll talk about it in the second hour at some point. The official bowl matchup for 24 and 25. Look at that. Holy cow.
Well, I mean, as we know, yes, we have the bowls, and even next week, we have the New Orleans Bowl.
The 19th.
Yeah.
Yep.
The R.L. Carrier Bowl.
Yep.
And those teams, they should start coming in early next week or maybe even
weekend. This weekend, I would think.
Yeah, or even maybe this weekend. And then after that, you have the Sugar Bowl that's coming up for New Orleans.
Yep.
And so we know Georgia.
Georgia against the winner of Notre Dame and Indiana, which is the 20th. And so that will decide the Sugar Bowl.
Correct.
So there's a lot. Tulane's on the 20th. James Madison's on the 18th. You weren't going to say that. LSU's on December 31st. Duke and Ole Miss on January 2nd. The whole thing's over. So it starts tomorrow. I know the music's playing. Starts tomorrow, December 14th.
Mm-hmm.
It ends on January 20th. Holy cow.
Try to dominate the TV.
Woo! Going to be a lot of football. The news is next. We'll be back with more of Fans in the Pro. Mike Austin, Deuce McAllister, Charlie Long in the booth. Keep it right here. WWLAMFM.com. Always free on the Odyssey app. And welcome back to the second hour of Fans in the Pro. Mike Austin, Deuce McAllister. As we talk all things football, a little basketball, Pelicans are playing Sunday, also after the Saints. They're at 4 o'clock in Indiana, trying to do something to stay in the mix until they get some people back. But, man, it has been rough.
It's been rough, and you've had a couple of close games last couple weeks where you could get close but just can't finish it off, particularly this week. And, man, it's been tough for the Pelicans. And so, you know, hopefully you can get B.I. and you've gotten Herb back, and you can get Zion back and Jose back and Hawk back. Hawk, you know, he's been out the last couple weeks, and so – CJ's been trying to hold it down. Trey Murphy's been trying it. DeJounte has been trying to hold it down. And, you know, it's just been you win one, but you lose two other heartbreakers.
Yep, that's tough. And close ones, are rough. They're 5-21 right now, but, again, still in December. The schedule comes in three columns. December's the first column. We got two more columns still.
We in ugly column right now. We need some good luck columns, and, you know, we'll kind of just see what happens. I mean, at this point, you're just trying to get in the play-in situation.
Before we were going to break at the top of the hour, just reeling off some of the, you know, hugely big college football playoffs, the bowls. They begin tomorrow, December 14th, and I rattled off some schools, and Charlie was right. I did not mention Louisiana at TCU or against TCU in the New Mexico Bowl. That'll be December 28th. I did LSU, and you'll be at the Celebration Bowl tomorrow?
Yeah, headed over to Atlanta. It's the MEAC versus the SWAC. I'm going to go over to the Celebration Bowl and check that out and, you know, be pulling for the Jackson State Tigers. I know they played Southern and the Jaguars. I'm still a Jag, and I'm still pulling for the G-men up north, but you know my heart is, of course, not always in Mississippi. Got to pull for the home team as well.
I mean, you have a nephew, right?
My nephew is one of the quarterbacks at Jackson State, and so that makes it. I don't want to say it makes it a little easier to pull for the home team, but it definitely helps.
And he was the MVP of the conference.
He was MVP for the SWAC championship game last week.
Yeah, well done. So, and that'll be good. And so, again, as we talked about, you got the New Orleans Bowl coming up on the 19th, a bowl game that probably people weren't talking about, but now they are, UConn and North Carolina on December 28th.
So tell me your thoughts on the North Carolina situation. Because here's one.
My off mic thoughts are way better than my on mic thoughts.
On mic, off mic, we know there's a coach in waiting, which is his son. His son, Steven, has coached for sure last year up at the University of Washington. And Coach Belichick visited a lot. And the way that the Washington program is modeled, I don't know the specifics of it, but it's modeled after an NFL system, how they kind of treat, handle players in that respect. North Carolina, we'll call it shocked. Because anytime you get a Super Bowl winning coach, not one, not two, not three, but go to the other hand and count that as well. You get him to come in and take over your program, and, you know, people are talking about, well, I want to see him work with 18-year-old. Yes, that is true. But do you think every head coach is going on house visits now? Do you think every head coach is involved with every player he's involved to a point to the roster? Bill is going to be a manager for the North Carolina Tar Heels. He will accumulate a ton of NFL coaches, but also really good college coaches. Because if you see the fine print, UNC last year committed $4 million to their NIL program for Mac Brown. UNC is committing $20 million to their NIL program for Bill Belichick. UNC also is increasing their coaching salary, not head coach, salary for coaches by $10 million. That is not even accounting for, head coach that has been fired, who is still getting paid by school X. How about you come and be an analyst for me? And we can pay you the minimum because you're still being paid by school X. You're going to go through the Bill Belichick rehab for coaching, and we're going to teach. So a lot of people are throwing out, oh, it's an 18-year-old. It's an 18. He's dealing. He's recruiting. Last I checked, teaching is teaching. Whether I'm teaching a 21-year-old or whether I'm teaching a 34-year-old. That 21-year-old, it's a little bit different. And we may have to use a different technique to get some of his attention, but it's still teaching.
That's what you believe and I believe.
No, that was my spiel, and now no, I want to hear your thoughts.
I think that he wants to build something. I think that he wants, and he always wanted to coach in college. He did, his dad was an assistant at UNC. And I think, you know, like all these guys, they all got egos. And
definitely has an ego.
And he says, oh, I'm sorry, you don't think I can make this a football school? You a basketball school? I think he likes that challenge. I think the college game.
I think he can lay the groundwork
right
for that, but they're going to have to be committed. And financially now, we're still talking about a blue blood university, but it's been known for basketball.
Yeah.
They had a flash in the pan, you know, previously with Mac as far as, you know, hey, you're really good, UNC, and then it went blap. We don't care about football. There's a ton of talent in Carolina. There's a ton of talent in South Carolina.
Both Carolinas, I was going to say both
there's
Carolinas.
There's a ton of
talent. You start getting those Clemson guys.
Well, that's what I was about to say. Now you get up into the D.C., the Maryland area. I mean, what are we talking about? What are we doing? And you mean to tell me you're going to give me an arm chest, a war chest, to be able to say, all right, GM, this player is worth this. We can, you know, allocate this. We can you still have, last time I checked, didn't Michael Jordan go there?
Yes, he did.
So I still have the Jordan brand behind me. Oh, man, come on.
Not bad for a freshman who made a jump shot here in New Orleans in 1982. That's a brand. When you talk about something that began in 1982,
well,
and
I mean,
still your brand.
We know Oregon and what they have done and are doing, you know, and you know who's backing them, you know, Phil Knight's behind them with Nike. But the spinoff of Nike is that man, that Cillo, that's flying through the air with his hand up in the air and, you know, like, hey, I think I may have a pair of myself, you know, right there. And it's just like, hey, yeah, that's my school. Yes, I give a lot of money to Michigan, who is a, you know, a Jordan affiliate, and there's some others. But you mean to tell me the Tar Heel isn't going to play in that world? Come on.
Believe it will. Take a break. We'll get back to talking a little Saints and the Commanders with John Keim. Covers them for ESPN.com. Take a break first. Fans in the Pro, Mike Hostus McAllister here on WWLAMFM.com. Always free on the Odyssey app. Welcome back, Mike Oss, Deuce McAllister, Saints and the Commanders, Sunday at noon. John Keim joins us now, covers the Washington Commanders for ESPN.com. He's got a 703, a little close to my heart, my friend. I'm a 703er myself, born and raised in Manassas, went to James Madison. In fact, I did a D.C. radio show this morning, the Junkies. Does that make sense, the Junkies? I never heard of them before.
The Junkies have been, they've been around for a long time, so they're a really good show here. So yes, they're a staple in the DMV here.
Very cool. Well, it's been a while for me. Welcome to the show. You're on with myself and Deuce McAllister, and we were just kind of talking in the break and talking about Washington and kind of how they've been playing, and you know, they lost three of their last four, but they won their last game with Tennessee and had that open week. And I was talking to him about just because when I was watching going through the old games in preparation, you know, in the Philly game, Terry McLaurin, was kind of just out of it. One reception, and then he had one reception in the first half of the Dallas game. And it's like, man, there's just a different offense when they're not throwing Terry the ball. Now, since then, second half of the Dallas game and the Tennessee game, he's had 13 or 12 receptions and three touchdowns. But, man, for him to disappear like that just seemed a little strange.
Well, the Eagles is the one game that really jumps out because they've done the best. First of all, they have a great secondary, and I think you start there, right? But I think, you know, and then Vic Fangio is a very good defensive coordinator, and like they were really, really good at knowing where Terry McLaurin was, like where they wanted to get him the ball in what situations. And the mistake Washington made in that game was not moving around a little bit more. Predominantly, he's going to play on the offense's left side. So, you know, and the Eagles knew that. And everybody knows that. But they were the one team that really took him out of it by, you know, with a lot of bracketing, with corners of playing, knowing how to play to the leverage, but also have got linebackers dropping to various spots where they like to get in the ball, et cetera. So they needed to move him around more. Against Dallas, there were just a couple plays that he and Jaden Daniels didn't connect on. Like there were a couple times where he's open on some deep fades that the ball is just about a yard or two out of, you know, just, I mean, you're talking about a 40-yard pass, that's a yard off, right? So there were a couple plays like that in that game. But having said all that, they are absolutely a different team when they can get him the ball early. It doesn't have to be a ton, but you've got to get him involved early. And I think you know how this is. Any receiver is better when you're involved early. The good thing for him and Jaden Daniels, he is not your typical diva receiver. So if he's not getting the ball, like, you know he wants the ball, but he's not, like, he's not in there chewing out the quarterback, whatever, to get the ball. It's like he's patient with himself, but people have coached him in the past know he's a lot more locked in when you can get him that ball early. So I would think they get him, against Tennessee, the first play of the game was to him, and there's a reason for that. So they know the importance. It's just a matter of do they take it away or not. And I think the other thing, too, with Jaden's not going to force things. So if he's not, it's not a matter of calling plays for him. It's a matter of where is he in the progression and how does he read it. And if he doesn't think it's there, he's not going to go to him, right? So I think he's kind of mature in that way. But again, they need to get him the ball early, and they know it.
John, I want to get your impression of what you think or have thought of Jaden Daniels so far. Has he met expectation, exceeded expectation? Just your thoughts on him so far this year.
Well, I think I would say exceeded, but I don't know at what point where I would say that. In other words, like, early, you know, when you draft a guy, when you see him, when the team drafts him, like, you think he's going to be good. So I think he's exceeded expectations from that point. However, the more you're around him, the more you realize that he can do some things and he's not your typical rookie. So from that standpoint, the fact that he's having a good year, I'm not surprised. I think there are definitely areas where you'd still say he's exceeded here and here with his understanding of how to run things, his understanding of the position. I think he plays with a deep maturity to his game where I think you do not look at him as a rookie. And that's the thing, like, you kind of forget that he is a rookie because he's been so mature in a lot of ways. Players will talk about that. Just like the things that he talks to them about is at a different level in terms of, like, about a play or whatever, right? And so, like, from that standpoint, it's been impressive. And I tell people here that because, this place has been starved for a quarterback for decades. And so when people ask you, like, what do you think of him? They say, well, the best thing that you – with Jaden is that it's what you hear about him from other guys behind the scenes, the work he puts in and the way he studies, et cetera. And also, again, the maturity that he plays with and just how he is with veteran players and how he understands what is needed from the position, right? That there's a responsibility with it to be a leader. There's a responsibility with it to, whether it's a veteran, a young guy, you know what your role is. And so, like, maybe after a game, he might go up to a veteran receiver who might be a little bit annoyed with his own performance and just remind him, like, I trust you. I'm going to keep going back to you, et cetera. And, some guys have told me, like, they're just not used to that. And so I think, that's where you see – that's the part that I think he's exceeded, because that's a hard thing to know how he's going to do.
As this team makes a playoff push, to get themselves in that picture, firmly in that picture, what are some of the things that they continue to not only do well and some of the things that they need to kind of, hey, they've got to eliminate some of these things if they're going to make sure that they're in that playoff, not just the race?
Right, and I think, like, the big thing to improve is the run defense, but that's been a problem all year. I don't know if it's going to get fixed all this year. Can they improve? Yes. And some of it goes back to technique, and Joe Witt, their defensive coordinator, was talking about that this week. And the technique is, it's not just like, okay, where you put your hands, where you're stepping, it's how you're fitting this gap, how you're rotating on this look, et cetera. So there were some things that had to be cleaned up there. I'll be curious to see if they do a better job this week against Alvin Kamara in that way. But that's something that absolutely has to improve, not just to make the playoffs, but if you want to, because right now, if they make the playoffs, the first round game is against Philadelphia. Well, if you want to beat them, you better stop the run. So if you don't stop the run, if you can't be better against it, it's going to be a short stay. So that's something that has to improve. But then on the other side, on offense, I think the run game has been a big time key, as much as, like, as well as Daniels has played, and he has, and he's been very good for them. But that run game under coordinator Cliff Kingsbury has been very good. And they rushed for, I think it was like 276 against Tennessee. When Brian Robinson is healthy, that makes a big difference. And he is healthy right now. So that is something that I think they will lean on down the stretch for sure. And it does, because that, it helps Daniels. First of all, we know Daniels can run. Secondly, it puts him in better passing situations, and he's taking advantage of that. So, I just think but it starts with the run game. Like, if they get that going, they're really, really hard to stop.
What are the expectations in the D.C. area or within that locker room with Marshawn Lattimore? I mean, you know, got the trade deadline feels like a while ago, and now he's going to make his debut. You know, of course, here. But what are the expectations? I would imagine high.
Well, for the fan base, the expectation is to be a Hall of Fame corner. I think that's what they want. But I just think the realistic expectations come in to be much better than what they have. And their corner play has been very inconsistent. Benjamin St. Juice has been starting. He's going to be, my guess is he'll replace him as a starter. They haven't said which guy is coming out, but that's the most logical one. Mike Sammerstill is a rookie. They drafted him to play in the slot, but because they're having issues outside, they had to bump him outside. And he's done a nice job. But what they haven't had a corner of this caliber in a long time. So I think what they want is just to maybe prevent more, to have a guy who can lock someone up, right? And or to make it a tougher play than normal on this, right? And that's something they just haven't had that. And St. Juice is a taller, longer corner. But he doesn't play with the same level of confidence that Lattimore does. And I know, like you guys know, he's battled injuries. Is he the same player he was a couple years ago? I don't know. But he's still better than what they've had by a decent amount. And so I think the expectation in the locker room is that he can go in there and be just a very good corner for them. And, again, someone that maybe the safeties don't have to worry about in this particular coverage. If it's man coverage, maybe the safety can kind of cheat a little bit more to the other side, because you know that Lattimore is in a good spot, and they haven't had that. So I think that's, you know, I think the other thing is, again, the dog mentality. When they traded for him, the one thing that a bunch of guys kept talking about is he's got that dog mentality. And that is, again, in that room, they just haven't had someone like that.
My last question, and I'm just, you know, as I watch the games and I see a guy in his 12th year out of Stanford, and that's Zach Ertz. The Saints have struggled in his running quarterbacks and sometimes tight ends. The guy's got 52 catches. He's had a touchdown in each of his last three games. I mean, he has been, everything you could want, you know, in a tight end.
Yeah, and he's been a good safety valve for Jaden Daniels. And you saw that develop in training camp. And that goes back to what I was saying about Daniels, like, in training camp, those two would talk a lot after plays. I mean, a lot. And I think that kind of communication pays off at times like this. And just knowing where the guy's going to be, having trust in where the guy is going to be. And I think, you know, Zach Ertz is not going to necessarily be some dynamic player anymore, but in the 10-yard area, he's going to help him. And then you've seen that all year. The question is, like, they lost Noah Brown this week. He's likely done for the year. With a kidney injury suffered against Tennessee. So you need other guys, right? And I think, you know, having a guy that you can rely on, Austin Eckler is out too. So having a veteran like Zach Ertz over the middle is a big plus for Jaden Daniels, and has been all year.
We'll see. Big one for both teams. I appreciate your time. That's John Keim covering the Washington Commanders for ESPN.com. Thank you very much, and enjoy your holidays.
Hey, thanks for having me on. You too. Thank you.
Thank you.
Need to take a break. Fans in the Pro working our way towards 6 o'clock. And then, of course, 7 o'clock will be the All-State Sugar Bowl Prep Football Roundup live from Caesars Superdome. Take a break here on WWLAMFM.com. Always free on the Odyssey app. Welcome back, and thanks to the good folks at Magazine Pizza for speeding our sports talk crew on game day. Magazine Pizza, 1068 Magazine, dine in or delivery. The best gourmet pizza selection in town. Magazine Pizza also has pastas, sandwiches, wings, and salads. MagazinePizza.com. WWL is your place for the Pelicans basketball Sunday. It's the Pels taking on the Pacers in Indiana. Pre-game at 3:30, tip-off at 4 o'clock on the Big 870. Saints game will be over, and WWL, your home for Sunday Night Football. Sunday night, catch the 9-4 Green Bay Packers. They are on the road against the 8-5 Seattle Seahawks. We'll have the pregame action at 6:30. Kickoff will be at 7:20. So Green Bay at Seattle. And then next Monday, the 23rd, we shall be in Green Bay, Wisconsin on December 23rd for a Monday night game. which can be a little bit of anything.
It's too early for me to even check the weather. I'm just preparing for cold, you know. And
I think that's a given.
It only gets worse from there. It's either going to be cold, colder, or you're freezing.
Right. I was telling somebody today, I said, I don't care what it is, ain't nothing will touch the Saturday in Cleveland a couple years ago. That was the 15 below game. That was on Sunday. Saturday was 100 times worse.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't get to experience right. that part. I saw the videos and the pictures. And anytime that you don't even have to be outside and you can just stick your hand outside and your hand just moves because of the wind – and it's just, you know, you talk, you open your mouth, and you see the air almost just freezing from you just talking. That's cold, bro.
It was cold. It was cold. They made the right call. Well, they didn't make it do any change, but the Saints made the right call because we were there Friday, right? We flew in on Friday because it was a blizzard. You were in Shreveport. The blizzard was all everywhere. I mean, yeah, everybody was impacted.
You couldn't fly into Cleveland.
Yeah, you couldn't do it. You couldn't fly into Cleveland because of the wind gales or whatever it was.
You couldn't fly into Cleveland.
So when we look at the Saints offense, we've been always, you know, typically we've been able to talk to, you know, the guys covering the Commanders. So Jake Hanner gets the start, but he's got something that Rattler didn't have. He's got his starting five, really, you know, offensively from an offensive line standpoint. And I got to believe, and you know, they had 10 tackles for a loss last week offensively, which was a lot. A lot of it happened on first down.
Well, here's also what you have to remember with the offensive line. Everybody, hey, the offensive line is back. The offensive line is back. How many times did the offensive line practice together?
Oh, not much. And they haven't been together since week three, something like that?
You had one player that was in concussion protocol.
Right.
Yeah, one that was in concussion protocol. The other one was coming off of a groin issue, and the other one is coming off a foot. So, yes, they're back, but how much are they actually practicing? So they actually get a week of practicing. When you look at that report, tell me how many of those guys are on that report.
None.
I was disappointed in the offensive line last week because the one thing that you felt that you would be able to do was run the football. You weren't able to do it. This week, that job is a little bit tougher. But one thing that you should expect teams to do is to play five down.
Right. Because they feel like you got a rookie quarterback. You're going to want to run the ball.
Well not we say right, but it's normally not what teams do from a base defense standpoint.
Right, but they're loading the box to stop the run, right?
You load the box to stop the run, but it's doing it a certain way.
Right.
So
well, that's Philly, wasn't it?
It was Philly who started it. And so other teams have used that look. But it's not something that teams traditionally do. Most teams don't give you that look. So if I'm the Saints, I'm preparing for that look. Even if Washington has only done it, let's just say, on average, out of 70 plays, they've only given you that look 10 times. I'm looking for them to attempt to do that 40 times. So there should be no reason for you to be surprised. Hey, we got a five down look. The look is five down. And so that basically puts the offensive line in one-on-one situations. Now, for the back, you've got to be patient. You got to be patient. And when I say that, it's those guys have to be able to get up to the second level, or you have to be able to cut off on the backside, depending on where that run goes. But if there's penetration, it's going to be fighting to get back to the line
of
scrimmage.
That's exactly what happened.
I mean, and that's just because of how the look unfolds.
So how do you beat five down? Like what's the other than hey my man beating your man and getting to the second level?
You can't just do that. Because
throwing the ball more?
You have to be willing to throw it a little bit more and hit them for yak yardage, yards after the catch. I mean, because they're giving it up. They're giving up some throws. They are giving up some yards and some opportunities to say, hey, we're willing to give up 4 yards, 5 yards, even on a throw. And even if you test us, you know, because we have a rookie at XYZ, we don't think that your guy's not going to make the play is basically what it comes down to. Now, when you just, I'm going to be hard-headed. and run the football. If you are able to get to the second level because you were able to cut it off and you were able to block it right, Alvin is one-on-one with the safety. Jamal is one-on-one with the safety. Kendre is one-on-one with the safety. When you get those looks, you can't be 50%. You've got a bat. When I get one-on-one with that safety, this can't just be a 10-yard run. This has to be a plus 30, plus 40, even maybe a house call. Because I can't expect them to block it perfect every time.
So you got to make him pay when you make when you get to that safety, you got to make him pay.
He's missing.
So the question is, what do you think? And I'm not, you know, asking you to divulge anything, but will they be? If I'm watching, I'm like, all right, you are not gonna. We're gonna make Jake Haener beat us. You ain't beating Alvin Kamara.
That's what I would do.
And Kendre Miller ain't beating us.
That's what I would
do. So you're gonna have to make Jake throw it. So the question is, do you think they'll be hard-headed and say, nope, we're going to run the ball and first and second down?
First and second down, I'm probably not running. I am going to take what you're giving me as far as the yardage on the pass. That's what I'm going to do. And then when I want to be hard-headed, it's going to be far and few and in-between situations.
We probably should not refer to it like that.
Yeah, that's what it is. I mean, but that's what it is. It's hard to run into a loaded box. I mean, because you are expecting things to be perfect, and sometimes they're not. Particularly when a unit hasn't practiced. Oh, they're the starters. They hadn't practiced together since 7 weeks.
10 tackles for a loss. And by the way, the problem offensive line was the Giants. Offensive line. Saints tackles for a loss? Zero. We'll talk about that on the flip side of this break, working our way towards 6 o'clock. This is Fans in the Pro with Mike Hoss, Deuce McAllister, Charlie Long in the booth. Back after this, WWLAMFM.com, always free on the Odyssey app. Welcome back just for a few more minutes until kickoff with Boomer and Valenti at 6 o'clock. Then at 7 o'clock, it is the All-State Sugar Bowl Prep Football Roundup and a special championship edition tonight at 7 and then tomorrow at noon is where I'll be heading. After this, to go back to Caesars Superdome, lots to do, lots of football. Friday, Saturday, Sundays, they flip everything and get it ready for the Saints and the Commanders at noon. We talked about offense, Saints defense. You talk about the challenges. So they're the third best rushing offense in the NFL, Washington. They have third most rushing touchdowns, 23, third most plus 20 runs, fourth in points, 29 a game. And here's the wild one to me. So they're both seventh. The Saints' red zone offense is seventh, 60%. Washington's red zone offense is seventh, 60%. The Saints are 23 of 38. Washington is 33 of 55. 55 red zone appearances. That feels like a lot.
How can we steal possessions?
Right. That's exactly right. I mean, I feel like this defense is going to have to.
How can you steal possessions? I mean, stopping the run will be imperative.
Turnovers. You get your hands on the ball against Washington, you better.
Even a fake, and we've been very, very aggressive with fakes, field goals. I mean, punts. Punts and even going for it. But the Saints have to put some pressure on them where they can't run the football. If this Washington team is in the game and they're ahead, you know what you're getting.
Right.
They're going to run it. And then the quarterback scramble has been a disaster for us this year. But somebody's going to have to make a play.
Is this the guy that you spy?
I would have spied a couple guys. Right. But, they've got to figure out what works for them and not, get out of character as far as defense on what they like to do. But you're going to have your hands full.
I feel like because of the offensive situation, we don't know, the defense is going to have to come up with some play. You've got to win the turnover battle.
You've got to win the turnover battle, but if you can put points on the board, you'll take it. If you can put your offense in favorable field position, you'll take it.
Right, because the field position battle was not pretty last week at MetLife. Thanks to everybody for listening tonight. Again, Boomer and Valenti coming up next. My thanks to Charlie Long in the booth. As always, Deuce McAllister. Bobby and Mike Dettillier will be at the Rouses tomorrow. Go check them out. They're going to be in Covington from 9 to noon. We'll see you on Sunday as well. Thanks for listening to Fans and the Pro. Have a good week.